His family was memorialized in a San Francisco newspaper for their perfect fairy tale appearance, but a dark secret had been following him for more than 20 years. He thought he could trust his life partner to be on his side, but he probably never expected that a custody battle was about to tear them apart. This is a story of Timothy Stevenson, the gay dad who made the mistake of telling his husband he committed a murder. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I hesitated a little to cover this case because I didn't want to bring any sort of bad light to a community that already takes plenty of heat in some circles. Like, on this article about the murder, there was exactly one comment, and it's someone calling gay people a never-ending source of reprobate entertainment. Of course, I love that they use the word reprobate, but I don't want to add fuel to anyone's hate fire. But the case is so interesting, I couldn't help myself. Timothy Stevenson seemed to have it all. He and his partner, Joseph, had gotten married in 2008. Joseph was an emergency room doctor, and Tim took his last name. I think his last name is Polish, so it's probably pronounced Gineko, but don't quote me on that. Mówię po polsku mało. Tim and Joseph lived in what's been called the safest town in California, Danville, outside of San Francisco. Their home was worth $2 million, and they had two sweet daughters, twins. But like so many marriages, there was an undercurrent of unhappiness. If the restraining order Joseph took out against Tim at the time of their divorce is any indication, it seems there was some violence in Tim. Their divorce proceedings began in January 2020, and they soon got into one of those nasty custody battles over the girls. And that's when Joseph revealed a pertinent little piece of secret information about Tim to the police. In January 1998, Tim had picked up a man at a gay bar in Missouri. They had driven back to Tim's house in Kansas City, and there in the bathroom, Tim had shot the man. His name was Randall Oliphant, and he was 26 years old, and he had begged for his life after that first shot, but Tim shot him again, and then dumped the body in some woods 100 miles away and remodeled his bathroom so no one would ever know. Randall's obituary simply said that he died, but didn't say how. His body was found by two local fishermen, decomposing after being out in the wild for more than 2 months. Articles describe his lower half as mostly intact, which makes me think his upper half must have been not so much intact. He had been killed with a shotgun. The only clue about his death was in the pocket of his jeans, a card for the Dixie Belle Saloon in Kansas City. When the Missouri authorities called Kansas City PD, they found that Randall had disappeared 2 months before. His mom had reported him missing. And indeed, the last place he'd been seen was the Dixie Belle Gay Bar. The creator of the Kansas City Rainbow Tour says that although the gay liberation movement played out in New York City at the Stonewall Inn, it was first conceived in Kansas City. Of the Dixie Belle Bar, he writes, "This popular bar, established in 1983, was a sanctuary for daddies, bears, and most of all for the leather and BDSM or kink LGBT community." When police questioned the bartender there, he had seen Tim Stevenson leave with Randall on the last night he was known to be alive. Randall was originally from Waco, Texas, and had been working at a bank. An ex said he'd also been dealing cocaine and that there were hits out on him thanks to some bad drug deals. Randall's mom said the same thing. A third man, the publisher of a local newspaper for the gay community, said Randall owed $4,000 to a dealer named Susie. So it's not like Timothy Stevenson was the only suspect, but he was the only suspect who had last been seen with Randall. Authorities questioned Tim when the body was found, and he said he did take someone home from that bar once, but he didn't know who the man was, and he claimed to have dropped him off at a different bar afterward. But investigators kept digging and found that Tim had sold his Jeep Wrangler 4 months after the murder. They located the man who bought it from him. That man said some of the carpet had been cut out from the rear wheel wells when he took possession, but of course he couldn't have known anything was suspicious at the time. Police were able to search the vehicle and they did find blood in the back, but for some reason DNA testing was either never pursued or came back inconclusive. No one seems to know why Tim wasn't at least arrested, and authorities in Missouri aren't commenting. So Tim went on living his life. He was married to a woman in Kansas City for a while before leaving for California and meeting Joseph. The court records aren't detailed, but a woman got a restraining order against him for some reason in 2010. In 2014, he tried to get a restraining order against another woman. It was around this time that he confessed to his husband that he was a murderer, but it took Joseph 6 years to come forward with the information. And I'm not blaming him here. I understand how he might keep quiet when things were going well in the marriage, but it's so convenient that Joseph kept it in his back pocket for the divorce. He said he tried to look into the murder but had a hard time finding much information online, which was funny to me since I experienced the same thing with this case. Welcome to the world of a true crime researcher, buddy. But when Joseph spoke to the police, he knew enough that they knew he was telling the truth. He was able to tell them things that the public was never told, things only the killer would have known. He was also able to call Randall by name because he found letters from Randall's mom to Tim in their home. I wonder if she always believed he was the killer or if she was just writing to ask questions about her son's last night alive. The court records don't say. So the police set up a little sting in April 2021. They had the estranged couple, Tim and Joseph, meet in a place where they could have audio and video ready to record. The pair mostly spoke about their daughters, but Joseph managed to bring up the murder, and that immediately set off Tim's alarm bells. He became paranoid, asking if Joseph was wearing a wire. Tim insisted on checking Joseph's wallet, phone, and coffee cup. He said he never said anything about a murder. Then he said he only ever told the story about the murder to scare Joseph into never leaving him. Then he said one of his exes had actually been the one to kill Randall, but now that guy was dead too. Then he said that wasn't true, but he had hired a PI to find out who really killed Randall. Okay. In December 2021, charges were filed against Timothy Stevenson. The next month, the 48-year-old was arrested and brought back to Benton County, Missouri, where Randall's body was discovered. A new DNA profile had been developed for Randall using one of his bones, and the evidence from Tim's Jeep had been tested again. There was a match. He was charged with second-degree murder and pleaded not guilty. He was released on a $250,000 bond and stayed on house arrest with an aunt of his who lived locally. Tim's lawyer said there wouldn't be enough evidence to convict him, especially when he was the kind of guy who volunteered at dog rescues and at his girl's school. She said, "If you've met him, he's all starburst and sprinkles. He's just the most delightful person I've met in a long time." But here's the thing. Randall's body was found in the middle of nowhere in Benton County, Missouri. It's a place where fewer than 20,000 people live. It's not on the way between any major cities. A person wouldn't have a reason to dump a body there versus anywhere else. Unless their father and grandmother lived nearby, like Tim's did. He had been to the area many times, and his phone records showed that he'd pinged a cell tower nearby on the day Randall went missing. In July 2022, the aunt whom Tim was staying with on house arrest contacted the cops. She said he'd been doing drugs and inviting people over, and she couldn't be held responsible for him violating his pretrial conditions. So the police raided her house and found Tim smoking meth in his bedroom with $7,000 cash. He was charged with felony possession and shipped back to jail. At this point, the DA's office decided to skip any pretrial hearings and just put this case in front of a grand jury. Tim's lawyer said the prosecutors insisted that they would not take the case to the grand jury. They decided to change their mind without telling defense counsel and sent the case to the secret grand jury. And the prosecutor's office replied, "Indeed, all grand juries are secret by law. Sometimes you just have to love lawyers." That secret grand jury indicted Tim for second-degree murder. But his lawyer still insisted he's a marvelous person, and I believe he will eventually be exonerated. But instead, in March 2024, 50-year-old Timothy Stevenson took a plea deal. He pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and got 16 years in prison. Justice served after more than 20 years. He's currently being held at the Fulton Reception and Diagnostic Center in Fulton, Missouri. With credit for time served, he could be released in 14 years. It's still unclear if Tim had a motive for killing Randall back in 1998. Some people guess that it had something to do with drugs or the fact that there were supposedly two hits out on him. I wonder if we'll ever find out the real reason. And I wonder who's living in that Kansas City house with the bathroom that was renovated to hide a murder. It's just sort of fascinating to think that Randall's death might still be unsolved had Tim not confessed to his husband. I always joke that I'm only friends with people I know would help me hide a body, but I truly wonder if I would tell anyone about my past if it was this dark. Imagine if these two hadn't been going through a messy divorce. This story might have never seen the light of day. So I guess I'm thankful to Timothy Stevenson for not being able to keep a secret, and thankful to his daughters for being so worth fighting over. Still today, Tim's Facebook profile reads, "I love being a dad. I hope the best for his little girls as they someday have to cope with his past. And tell me your deepest, darkest secret so I can hold it over your head later if I need to." Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.